hear God's word. Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. In his shade I took great delight and sat down, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He has brought me to his banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. Sustain me with raisin cakes. Refresh me with apples, because I am lovesick. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. The sermon title this morning is Love's Banner. Love's Banner. And it's not a coincidence, because today actually is Flag Day. And it's very interesting. As we came over the George Washington Bridge, we drove under a humongous flag, a very, very large banner, the Star-Spangled Banner. And that was an awesome thing to do, but you know what? As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a much larger banner that we are under. Amen. It's the banner of the love of Jesus Christ. And that banner, that standard, that emblem is the cross. It's the cross. And Jesus, when he was speaking to Nicodemus in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, said, just as the serpent had to be lifted up in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. And he was speaking of his cross. That just as that banner, that standard was lifted up so that those who looked at that banner could be saved, so Jesus must be lifted up so that as we look at him by faith, we will be saved. This is the banner over us that is love. Love's banner. And I want to remind us how important the love of God is. You know, we as Reformed people, we love doctrine, we love the Bible, and we can get into heated discussions about the knowledge of God, and we study a lot, we read the books, and that's good, and that's wonderful, and I pray that the Lord blesses each and every one of your study in the Word of God. But you know what? If I have all knowledge and have not love, I am nothing. And so, beloved, yes, beloved, those loved of the Lord and those that I am to love in the Lord, beloved, let us delight in the love of God. Let us delight in the love of God. That's what I want to talk about today, preach about today. Let the love of God fill you, refresh you, delight you, and sustain you. Even as it says in verse 3, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest, so is my beloved among the young men. In his shade I took great delight and sat down. We take great delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word, these are the words of the bride to the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. And so take great delight in him. Let him sustain you. Let him refresh you. It is even permissible to be lovesick for the love of the Savior, the Lord Jesus, because we don't see him yet, and we long to see him. And we'll talk about that as we consider another passage, which we read earlier, 1 John chapter 3. But I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you to love your Lord God, to love Him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. But I don't want this to be a love of sentimentality. And God doesn't want it to be a love of sentimentality. In other words, in order to love God, truly love God, we need to hate sin. We must hate sin. Because sin is opposite of all that God is. And if you want to know what sin is, you read in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 5. That's a crystallized form of the character and holiness of God, and we dare not break the Ten Commandments. We need to love God and hate sin and realize that we can't keep the Ten Commandments, that they become the tutor to lead us to Christ, to show us our sin, and show us the need of the Savior. We need to love God and hate sin. Nothing but God, or no one but God, will refresh and sustain and delight us and not enslave and destroy us. Anything else you put in the place of God, eventually it will enslave you and it will destroy you. And so that's why we need to love God and hate sin. Beloved, delight in the love of God. And so as we delight in the love of God, I have 3 points. First, we must behold love's manner. Second, we must tell of love's banner. And lastly, we must be revived by love's fanner. So we've got the manner, the banner, and the fanner. And forgive me for making it rhyme, but it helps you remember, doesn't it? Yeah. Amen. Amen. So let's look at the first. 1 John chapter 3. Behold love's manner. Let me read that again from the New King James. First John is a wonderful book. It gives us so many proofs of whether someone is a child of God or not. And so we see a proof of the child of God here that we are like Him, that we desire to be like Him, and that we, as we abide in Him, we do not sin. Now, I'm not saying that we never sin, but as we abide, we don't sin. It's when we don't abide, that's when we sin. So the key to the Christian life is abide, remain in Christ. So 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. The word behold, some translations translate it see, but I think behold is better because it has this idea of staring and looking and to keep looking. And I think that's a word for us right there. We need to look at and keep looking at the love of God for us. And not only the love of God for us, but the kind of love. It says, behold what manner. There's this particular kind of love that God has for His chosen ones in Christ. What kind of love is that? Well, it is a sacrificial love. It's a love that gives itself. It's a love that is to the uttermost. No one could ever love you the way God has loved you. And if I can steal the, The spinner song, I never knew love before, then came you. You know, they use those words to talk about a human love, but the way that's fulfilled in the truest sense, it's speaking of God's love. You really can't know love until you know God's love, because God is the definition of love. In fact, in 1 John, we find that God is love. Amen? God is love. Behold, stare at, look at, keep looking at, behold what kind of, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we, even we, should be called children of God. This should be amazing to us. This is what amazing love is about. Because God takes we who are what? Rebels. We who are what? Sinners. We who are powerless to do anything good. Apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus says. And he loves us. And he takes enemy rebels and makes them into holy sons and daughters. So he doesn't just take us where we are and leave us where we are. He makes us into his sons and daughters by faith, and he puts us in the process of sanctification to make us more like Jesus. And you see that thought as we continue in chapter 3. It says, therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God. And that's the thing we need to remember. We have had an identity change. Our identity before Christ really was children of our father, the devil. And that's the way Jesus described it to the Pharisees. You are of your father, the devil. And he specifically told Nicodemus, for example, you must be born again. You must become a child of God. Beloved, now we are children of God. We are children of God if we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. If we have received him. 1 John 1:12. But to as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. And so the question this morning is, have you believed in him? Have you received the right to become a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God through Christ? If you haven't yet come to that point where you recognize, yes, I'm a sinner, I have rebelled against God's Ten Commandments, I've broken all of them, and the only way I can come to God is through a Savior. If you've done that, praise the Lord. If you haven't done that, I urge you to do that as soon as you possibly can, because the next minute is not promised to any of us. And you don't want to put off your salvation, because now is the time of salvation. Amen. Amen. And it's as we look at the love of God and as we learn to hate our sin, because again, it's our sin, that if we remain in it, it will carry us to hell. And you don't want to go there. Jesus speaks of hell as a place where the flames never are quenched and where the worm never dies. And John talks about hell as a lake of fire and sulfur. And I heard a preacher say we need to make you consider the smell of sulfur and fire and smoke, to let that work on your imagination, that you would desire not to go there. that you would desire salvation through Jesus Christ, because he took the hell that I deserved, that you deserved. As Pastor Cameron used to preach, and I think he was right in this, that the Lord Jesus Christ spent the equivalent of an eternity in hell when the Father forsook him and he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus did that for the sake of those who would trust in him. And so I urge you to trust in him and be covered, to have that banner of the love of God over you. Behold what manner. Keep looking at that manner of God's love for you. And as we look at what the Father gave up his Son, his only Son, for you and for me. We see a picture of that in the Old Testament when Abraham gave up his only son in obedience to God's command to sacrifice Isaac on the altar. Isaac became, in a sense, a type of Christ. But then the Lord said, no, don't do it. And then the Lord provides a substitute, the ram caught in the thorns. And that ram is sacrificed instead of Isaac. And so the ram becomes the type of Christ, our sacrifice. And that's because of God's love. Again, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants a relationship with you. God wants a relationship with me. He's provided a way for that to happen. He's provided blood so that we could enter into the new and living way. Let's look at that love and keep looking at the love. Not only that, we need to tell of love's banner. Behold love's manner and tell of love's banner. Back to Song of Solomon, chapter 4. He has brought me to his banquet hall, and his banner over me is love. How often do you tell people about how God has loved you? And how often do you tell people about how God has demonstrated his love for the world, those who would trust in Christ? We talk about what we love. Isn't it true? We talk about what we love. Well, we need to talk about the God whom we love and the God who loves us. Now, maybe you're not there yet, or maybe you are there, but maybe the Lord is encouraging you to excel still more. And I hope that's the case. Where does the ability to tell of God's love come from? Well, as God pours out his love in our hearts, Romans 5 says, he pours out his love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he gave us. As that pours into our hearts, there is more than enough for an overflow to tell others. And so if you find that you're lacking in telling of love's banner, ask the Lord to give you that ability to tell, that it would overflow. Love's banner is the cross of Jesus Christ. The word translated banner is degel. Degel. And degel would be like, there would be a pole where the banner would be fixed. And it would, in the Old Testament, it was something that when there were armies assembled, when they're moving in battle, they could rally at the Degel, rally at the standard or the banner before them. It was lifted up on a hill so it could be seen for miles around. In the same way, Jesus must be the rallying point for the church. We must see him. We must see him lifted up. We must see him lifted up. He even said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." And so the cross is that banner lifted up to remind us, to show us God's love. It's a beautiful thing. And if you want to read about the lifting up of the serpent, the bronze serpent in the wilderness, for further study, you can turn to Numbers chapter 21. Then Solomon says something else in verse 4. He says, he has brought me to his banquet hall. Or literally, he has brought me to his house of wine. Why would the Lord bring his bride to the house of wine? Well, God wants to have fellowship with his bride, the church. And he has brought us to the banqueting table or the house of wine. We have a banqueting table right here in front of the pulpit. It says, "Do this in remembrance of me." We get to celebrate the Lord's Supper. We get to celebrate that God desires union and communion with his people. That union and communion is a precious thing God gives to us, where we feed on Christ in our hearts with thanksgiving, where we drink of the blood of the vine that was cut so that we could be grafted in. It's a beautiful thing. But it's not just about union and communion with Christ, it's also about separation. Come out and be separate. Separate from sin. Separate from the flesh. Separate from the devil. Another passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, speaks of God's desire. This is God's covenant with his people. 2 Corinthians 6. You can start at verse 14. "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people." That is the covenant promise from Genesis through Revelation, that God will walk among us, that he will be our God, and that we will be his holy people. "Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Isn't that beautiful? This love, This love that God has given us is a purifying love. This is a love that makes us desire to be holy because God is holy. I said, tell of love's banner, but actually I want to encourage you to sing of love's banner. That's what Song of Solomon is about, Song of Songs. It's the Song of Songs. It's the best of Solomon. Solomon, the Bible tells us, wrote over 1,000 songs. And so this song is the Song of Songs. And so this is actually singing, and this is the bride singing of the banner that is over her of love. And so I encourage you to sing, to make those songs and hymns and spiritual songs and encourage one another with those in the Lord. It is God's plan to mark us out with His love, for us to love Him with our all and to repent and return to our first love. And so some of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time, and some of you for a short time. But I'll encourage you to, as the Bible says in Revelation, to return, to repent, and to return to your first love. Do you remember those of you who have trusted Christ when you first believed, the joy that God gave? The great love that He put in your heart for Him and for His Word and for fellowship. God calls us to return to those, to live there, to dwell under that banner of love. And so, really, there should be a flag. You should be flag-waving Christians. And by flag-waving, I mean waving the cross, being under the cross, seeing nothing but the cross. I desire to know nothing among you but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And so that's the flag that we need to carry and to wave and to tell about and to sing about. Flags are there to arrest our attention. In a football game, you see that yellow flag, everyone stops. All right, what did I do wrong? People begin to ask. Well, when we come to the Christ, to the cross, we need to ask the same question. How have I sinned and fall short of the glory of God? What do I need to repent of today? What do I need to repent of this moment? Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's arrogance. Maybe it's, I'm like Nabal. Nobody could tell him anything. And so he put himself in great danger. Or maybe it's, I love money too much, or material. Or I've drifted. Hebrews tells us to be careful that you don't drift away. Or maybe I've become dull and slow to believe the promises. Or maybe I've allowed the love of the world to crowd out the love of the Father. Do not love the world, nor the things of the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life are not of the Father, but are of the world. 1 John chapter 2. And so if you allow these things to creep in, if you allow the world to creep in, then the love of the Father and the love of God goes away. And so we need to return. We need to repent. And so I urge you to repent of these things. Behold love's manner. Tell of love's banner. And last, be revived by love's fanner. 2 Timothy 1:6. 2 Timothy 1:6. What a wonderful passage. We're very familiar with 2 Timothy as Paul's last letter to Timothy, where he really shares his heart. Start at verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope, to Timothy, a true son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm sorry, I'm in 1 Timothy. Let's try 2 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What a wonderful passage. You see Paul's heart coming forth here. Paul, who was not married, but he had many sons, and Timothy was a beloved son of Paul. And so I urge you, fathers, love your children. Love your sons. Share your heart with them. Share your tears with them. It is a manly thing to shed tears for the right reason. Jesus wept. And so in Jesus we see what it is to be a man. He wept for his friend Lazarus. And here we have the tears of Paul. I'm sorry, the tears of Timothy. And also, we have the prayers. Fathers, you must pray for your sons. Pray for your sons. Thank God for your sons. And remember them in your prayers at night, yes, and day, without ceasing. So that's a lot of prayer. And so I urge you, fathers, pray for your sons. We see here love. There is this love of Paul for Timothy. And so this reminder is born out of love, as I hope this reminder I'm giving you is born out of the love of God, that you stir up the gift of God which is in you. Do you have the gift of God in you? Do you have the Holy Spirit in you? I trust that if you have received Jesus, that you have the Spirit. But the question is, do you have the gift of God through the laying on of hands? That's a whole other discussion, and I don't have time to get into that. Suffice it to say, Hebrews 6 tells us that that's one of the elementary doctrines. Baptisms and laying on of hands. And one of those things that we need to move beyond so that we become mature and are able to handle meat and not milk. So laying on of hands is among milk doctrines. That's what the Bible says. But we'll lay that aside for now and focus on, in this passage, it says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God. There's a compound word there that's translated stir up. I think NIV has fan into flame, which I think is actually more accurate, but still doesn't get the whole of what's going on there, because in that word you have the prefix ana, which means again. Then you have the root zoe, which means life. And then you have another root that says flame or fire. So basically, he's saying we need to bring again to life. Bring again to life the gift of God, which is on you by the laying on of my hands. In other words, there's this idea of bringing back to life the fire. You know, when the fire burns down low, like in a wood stove, that's what I think of because I have a wood stove. In the morning, there are those embers. You need to add fuel to that fire. And then it will burn, it will burst into flame again. And so we need the fuel of God's word. We need to read lots and lots of God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, Romans 10, 17. And so if you find that your faith is weak, add fuel to the fire. Get into the word, and let the word get into you. And so I urge you to read a chapter, two chapters, four chapters, five chapters of the Bible a day. How many meals do you eat a day? One? Some of you? Two? Maybe three? Some of you, four? You know, you have that breakfast at 5 or 6, then you're ready for 11sies. And then there's lunch after that. Well, I urge you to be as religious about taking in the Word of God as you are about eating your physical food. Amen. And to pray as you read. Holy Spirit, what do you mean by this? Give me understanding. Fill me up with the knowledge of God. Be revived by love's fanner. Who is love's fanner? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who is able to fan into flame, to bring the flame of the love of God back to life again. What will be the result? Well, we won't have a spirit of fear or timidity. And one of the things that we see as we consider the character of Timothy, it seems that Timothy had a tendency to be timid. And so Paul is encouraging him here not to be timid. He says, God hasn't given us a spirit of timidity or a spirit of fear. He has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so he urges Timothy to be bold. He urges Timothy to be not ashamed of the gospel. And so I urge you the same way, beloved, be revived by love's fanner. Fan into flame that gift of God. Don't have a spirit of fear and timidity. Beloved, delight in the love of God. And delight in his fruit. You know, when I was in Uganda, I was able to have a Ugandan pineapple. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a fresh pineapple. You know, we get green ones in the store, and it says that they're ripe, but they're not. And the only thing that I've been able to have that comes close here in the States was taking one of those green pineapples and putting it on my front porch in the sun. And it was there in the sun for several days. I turned it, and behold, the green pineapple turned yellow, and it started to rot a little bit. So you cut the bottom off that's rotten. But the rest of it was ripe, sweet, delightful. We need to delight in the sweetness of the love of God. We need to taste and see that. that the Lord is good, and he is good to us in Christ. Delight in the love of God. Behold love's manner. Tell, yes, even sing of love's banner, and be revived by love's banner. Let's pray. I don't know if we can go beyond what's written, but we want to say again, behold what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called sons of God. And we're called sons of God because his one and only Son was given up for us on the cross, and that was because of the Father's love. It's also because of the Son's love. And so we thank you, God, for that great sacrifice that you made. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are the one who applies that love to us. And I pray that you would apply that love to each one here, and that we would see that application in repentance, that we would see among these people a hatred of their sin and a willingness to hate that sin, even to loathe themselves because of that sin, Ezekiel 36 says. And so, God, do a mighty work, a mighty, mighty work in this people who are called by your name. That we wouldn't be living in name only, but that we would be living in actuality as well, and that the evidence of that would be a love for you, God. Oh, that we would love the Lord Jesus. We love because he first loved us. Make it so with us, God. Not with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth, that we would so love one another. And by this, all men would know that we are your disciples because we have love for one another. All these proofs of the work of God, of the work of God's Spirit in the heart. Thank you, God, the Father, that you gave the Son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave yourself. And thank you, Jesus, that you also baptize with the Holy Spirit. John said, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you that baptizes, that will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And so I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would baptize your people with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Fill us up with the fire of the love of God. Fill us up with the fire of the glory of God, that we would have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surpassing greatness of the power would not be of ourselves, but of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Fill us with your glory, God, with the same glory that Christ had. That was his prayer, John 17. We pray it again, Lord. Do it, God. Why should the nation say, where is their God? Fill us with all the fullness of God, so that your glory will dwell in our land, so your glory would be among us, and so people would be arrested and ask, what is this? What happened with these people? Do a mighty work in your people through your word, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, for your glory, for your name's sake. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.